Do you remember in this passage, Peter is encouraging us to be people of hope, that we have a real glorious hope of life with our Saviour to come. And I'd like us to focus tonight on verses 8 and 9 in particular. And they speak to us about the fruits of faith, that our faith in the Lord produces love, joy, and peace in our souls. And that this is the gracious work of God in us, that through our faith, he fills us with love, joy, and peace. And if you remember, verse 5 told us that the Lord's power keeps us through faith. And so the Lord's power is at work creating faith in us, sustaining that faith in us, and strengthening and even emboldening that faith in us. And it is the gracious work of the Holy Spirit within us. It is his power, the power of God, that is at work in you and I. And that's the most awesome and encouraging thought, isn't it? The Lord God is so powerful, he spoke all things into existence. His power is working in us, in our faith. And we saw that this power of the Lord keeps our faith, keeps us through trials. So that it's like gold passing through fire, Peter says. Being smelted down so that the impurities are removed and can be used, molded into a useful shape. And so our faith is going to be upheld by the power of God through suffering. And he's going to use suffering and afflictions to refine and purify our faith. And that ties into the message of this letter as a whole, which I think you can sum up as suffering, then glory. Suffering, then glory. And that's the pattern of the Christian life. And I discovered something new this week. I love learning new things about words. And you know, the Lord tells us in this world we will have tribulation. Well, I learned where the word tribulation comes from. It comes from a Latin word. And it comes from a Roman farming tool, a tribulum. And apparently this was a set of rolling wheels that would have sharp spikes and stones stuck to them. And they would use this for crushing grain so they could then separate out the wheat from the chaff and the good from the useless bits. And so tribulum and tribulation, to tribulate, it was to be rolled over and to go through this kind of refining process. Although isn't that a helpful way to think about troubles and tribulations that might roll over us? Behind them is the Lord's hand, and he's using them to separate out the impurities of the flesh. But as we look at these verses 8 and 9, and think again about the power of God at work in our faith. In these verses, you see that faith and sight are contrasted. We have not seen our Lord Jesus with our eyes, having not seen him. So he is hidden from us in heaven. We do not see Jesus, but by faith we perceive the truth. By faith we know him. We truly know him. It's the same contrast that Paul makes in 2 Corinthians, chapters 4 and 5. We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And it's the same thing in Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is the laying hold of the reality of the invisible. You could say faith gives us the spiritual eyes, the senses, in order to perceive the reality of the spiritual things that are hidden from our natural eyes. There is the material, the visible creation, and there is the spiritual, the to us invisible creation. Both realms are real. And so faith is man fully alive, all his faculties engaged. And through faith, he perceives the truth of the invisible and heavenly. And the great point that's been on my heart that I want to try and share with you about that is, we tend to, I think of the Lord being far away in heaven, in the invisible heavenly realms. But I don't think that's actually quite right. I don't think that's how the Bible would have us think about the relation between the invisible and the visible. The invisible, where the Lord is, it belongs to a different order. It's not tied to ordinary distance and geography in the space of this creation. And so the invisible, in a very real way, is right next to us, all around us. The Lord is near to us. He is with us. He's right next to us. As if you could say these two realms touch and there's just a veil, a curtain between us, separating the invisible and the visible. And as we're living by faith, at every moment by faith, we're to see that reality, that invisible. By faith, it's like we're just reaching through to speak to and to worship the Lord. He's truly not a God who is far off, but who is with us. The Holy Spirit, through faith, is connecting him to us, and he's so near to us. I'd put it like this, very simply. You know how we're blessed as a family that we've got my mum and her own little home connected to our home. And I just love that the children just pile through her door and they go through to be spoiled by Nana with sweets and to get a cuddle. And what I'm trying to say to you is the Lord is close to us like that. In a sense, there's just this door between him and us. And just what we are to do by faith, faith is that act, if you like, of opening the door in prayer, in our hearts, coming to meet with him who sits enthroned in the heavens. He's just a heartbeat away. So we do not see him, but by faith, we know him. And he is so near to us. And so look at how Peter is encouraging us as the power of God is at work through our faith. And the first fruit of this faith is love. Love for Christ. So Peter's commending these saints. He's encouraging them. And he's saying, I know you haven't seen him. You're spread out across this diaspora. But I know that you love the Lord Jesus. And that's true. That's the genuine mark of every real Christian. We might not have seen him, but we love him. And isn't that a remarkable testimony to the power of God, that you love Jesus even though you've never seen him? We have heard the testimony of Christ but never seen him, and yet we love him from the bottom of our hearts, and our desire is to love him more. Now, isn't that incredible, to love someone that you've never seen? It's the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit filling us with that love for God, for Christ. We have all once loved the wrong things and loved ourselves and loved sin. But he's opened our eyes to true goodness and beauty that we might love him. He has first loved us, giving his life for us. And therefore, we love him. And how altogether lovely your Saviour is, perfect as man and as God, the Lamb of God and the Lion of Judah, the suffering servant and the exalted Lord, mighty to save, full of compassion. To know Christ is to love him. And so if we love him this way now by faith, even though we haven't seen him, how much more when we will see him? So at the end of verse 7, it speaks about the glory and honor that will come at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, also, what love there will be at the revelation of Christ. And I'm sure you've seen this. Isn't it striking that the scriptures speak about the Lord's, the revelation of the Lord, the revealing of the Lord, often when it speaks about his return and second coming? That's how he describes it, as the revelation of the Lord from heaven. It's the moment his glory is seen and manifest in this world. Who he already is, but then will be seen by everybody. And I know that the greatest wish of all of us is that we would love him more. Well, when we shall see him, we shall love him fully. That sight will have a transformative effect upon us. It will be the end of sin in us. So as we think about this contrast of, isn't it amazing the Holy Spirit has brought us to love him now by faith? We can look forward to the love we will have when we see him. And John Newton puts it this way in the hymn, "How sweet the name of Jesus sounds. How weak the effort of my heart, how cold my warmest thought. But when I see you as you are, I'll praise you as I ought." And so the first fruit of this faith is love. The second is joy. When by faith we look at our Lord Jesus and how lovely he is, we are filled with joy inexpressible and full of glory. See, I think as you look at it in our English version, the two halves of verse 7 might not flow together as easily as I think they perhaps do in the original. What I think the verse is really getting at is that it's through believing in him, we are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. As you look to Christ, as you trust Christ, your soul will be filled with joy. Joy is the fruit of faith. And if we want to have joy as Christians, we must use our faith. We must believe on Christ, meditate upon him, fully accept and receive all he is, all that we have in him. We're not to be looking at lesser things to be a source of joy, but to look at them through him as his gift. We're to look to him, everything in the light of him, and it produces joy. And not just ordinary joy. Joy inexpressible and full of glory. I mean, lots of things can give you a kind of joy. It's temporary joy in things in this world that come and go. It can even be, I suppose, a kind of wicked joy if you delight in evil things. There can be a bittersweet joy, joy mingled with sadness. But the gift of joy that comes from looking at Christ is inexpressible and glorious. And again, I think there's a connection here to the invisible. I think what Peter's saying is that this is heavenly joy. The kind of joy that there is in heaven. A joy that's got the quality and the nature of what the joy of heaven is like. Suffusing it and running through it. It's to experience in some measure a taste of the perfect joy that there is in the presence of God in heaven. And I say that because you remember that when Paul speaks about heaven, he uses this word, inexpressible. He's caught up to the third heaven and he saw things that were inexpressible. Could not be put into words here below. Things so wonderful and amazing, there's no way to describe them here in the flesh. Things so far above this world, we don't have the words or capacity for them. What no eye has seen, no ear has heard. And again, that's heavenly. This is joyful of glory. Glory meaning God's presence. Manifest presence. That glory cloud, the light and beauty that shines from him. The glory that is the radiance of his majesty. So this is holy joy, godly, noble joy. That's joy in God and from God. It's heavenly joy. Joy that is pure and unfading. And when we, by faith, are coming to Christ, seeing how lovely he is, the Lord will use it and through those things fill us with joy, even in the midst of trials. So again, the fruit of faith is joy, and we must use our faith. As I say, open that door, see what is really true, and lay hold of it for yourself. And then, just very briefly, the final fruit of faith is the salvation of our souls. Or as I would paraphrase what he's saying here in verse 9, true peace of soul. And he's saying that this is the ultimate end and the purpose, the goal of faith. The power of God is working in us to bring us to this end, the salvation of our souls. And again, you probably know that the word salvation in the Greek original, it's got a rich meaning, more than the word in English, maybe. This word salvation can mean heal, to heal. I think that's some of the sense of it here. Through faith, our souls, our life and persons are healed. Healed of sin, set free from fear, guilt and shame, healed and made new, restored to God's image. And the disorders that's in our souls, our passions and our untrue and disordered thoughts, are healed and are being healed through faith. And that's going on now and will be perfected. Or this word salvation, it also means security in Greek. It's a word that someone would use for, say, if a man's been on a journey and he reaches his home and he's home safe after a difficult journey. He's secure. That too is a sense of this word. Our souls are safe and secure in Christ's keeping. His power through faith is going to bring us safely home to glory. So as we think about these wonderful things that the Lord is working into us through his power, through our faith, let's stir up our faith. Let's believe these wonderful things that we have in Christ. Open that door. See the reality of how near our Lord is, how lovely our Lord is, and trust in his keeping, saving power. Let us rejoice in those things.